Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
All right, I know we're here live at the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation. It's pretty awesome. A lot of things going on here. The real question is, though, are your summer plans all intact there? Are you going to tap into a good summer? Well, I sure hope you do, because I know that's one of the reasons why you live here. Yes, we're going to be live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation, and a ton of things to talk about here. Second largest industry in the state of Montana. How many visitors are we going to welcome in 2025? It's going to be 12 million, right? Something that's 11 times our population. There are a lot of people here that are working for this industry to make a living, but also to serve and boost our economy. So today, our broadcast is live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation on Voices of Montana. It is so fun to do live radio, especially when we're at a conference like this, because it's just, there's things are buzzing. They just let out one of these special sessions. And we're going to be talking with Mandy Rambo. She's the interim director for the Department of Commerce a bit later on. Dak Shifley will join us as well. And then Mitch Staley. There's some things going on in commerce I think you guys need to kind of get a handle on. But our first guest is Molly Kruckenberg, and she's with the Montana Heritage, Montana Historical Society, but we're talking about this beautiful new heritage center. I'm sorry, Molly, I've been so geeked out about this. I really, and I'm not a geek by any means, but this is exciting. It really, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. I'm so happy to be here. It is, the Montana Heritage Center is this incredible project for the whole state of Montana. It's really exciting that we're, you know, on the verge, we're closing in on being able to open the new facility that's really going to tell the story of all Montanans for Montanans, so we can really understand our heritage and our past and our culture.
We got to understand the process, because I think there's going to be a lot of fun in it. You can rethink things and redesign things and what works and then what doesn't, sort of, but it's probably just a ton of little things you got to keep track of, and you probably as excited as anybody to be nearing this. Talk about this project. It's been, you know, actually a couple of decades in the making almost when you go back to how long you've been thinking about this.
Absolutely. You know, I've been at the Historical Society for 26 years now.
Thank you for that.
A long time. Yeah. And we've been talking about a new building for almost as long as I've been there. But we first got some funding for it to allow us to do some studies about 20 years or so ago. But it was in 2019 with the Montana Museums Act that gave us the base funding that we needed to start this project. And with that base funding in hand, we were able to really create this gorgeous building that's a testament to the state of Montana. And now we're looking so forward to opening in November.
And in November, it's going to be a soft opening, more of a celebration a bit later on, too. Mm-hmm. So the building, we've been watching it, you know, being constructed. That's pretty cool as well. But it's right every day you're looking at that thing, and it's coming at us here. Tell us about it. What do you like about this? What's Montana going to like about this?
You know, I think what I like about it, what I think Montanans are going to like about it, is that every part of this project talks about Montana. The design of the building talks about things that are important to our state, our landscapes, our different geologies and geographies of the state. Even the exterior landscaping is native plants. We want every part of the building, including all of the exhibits, to say something about Montana. Even down to our gift shop is going to be about 75% Montana-made products.
Yeah.
And the things that aren't are books about Montana history, and, you know, many of them aren't published in state. So, you know, we want everything to talk about Montana, but as visitors come in there, hopefully we'll see themselves in all parts of our state. So representing the eastern Montana, the plains and the badlands, and, you know, central Montana with the rolling hills and all of our rivers and our waterways and all of those things reflected in the building, so that when they get to those exhibits and learn about that human interaction with the landscapes, they really see themselves, they see their part in Montana history.
That's kind of cool, because it's in Helena, so they're going to have to drive through a part of Montana, unless they fly in, but they're going to have to drive through a part of Montana to get there, and mm-hmm. so that'll enrich them in a lot of ways. I'm just thinking about This you could probably go like maybe 40 minutes on this question. But when you say it reflects Montana, what is Montana? And you kind of went into that, but right? I mean, how do you reflect the diversity and the love that the people have for this state and for each other? How do you do that?
I could actually talk for probably more than 40 minutes on that, but we talked a lot about that. We were thinking of developing our exhibits. How are we going to portray both the diversity in Montana and the commonness that we have in Montana? And we did come down to this idea that our lands, our landscapes are kind of that common theme for our history. But throughout our gallery spaces, we're going to use a variety of ways to incorporate multiple perspectives, multiple voices. So think, we've got places where you can interact with and hear somebody's voice who maybe was a homesteader in the 19-teens.
Actual voice recording?
Actual voices, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So oral histories, or maybe it's an actor who's reading a letter or a diary entry that talks about, and maybe it's the perspective of a Native American homesteader or a woman that's homesteading. We had lots of single women who homesteaded, and so hearing their voices and then being able to explore photos or letters that they wrote as part of some of the interactives within the exhibits, but trying in every way that we can to have and incorporate multiple perspectives on events. Because, right, not one single event happened one way. People saw it and experienced it in different ways. So we've tried very hard to include all of those perspectives so that there's an understanding that Montana is not just one kind of block of single thought, as is no state in the country.
Yeah.
But to have all of those perspectives incorporated in there, and then lots of ways that people can experience what Montanans were doing in the past.
Another unfair question. Which is your favorite child? What room is your favorite child there in the museum?
That's a very unfair
question. I know.
Question.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I do have to say that the Homeland Gallery, because it's going to be so spectacular. It has so many immersive experiences for people. I think it's going to generate so many conversations between visitors, between each other, and between their families, and hopefully multiple generations when they leave. One example, we have this mineshaft experience, which is going to be so fun. And it will, using archival film footage from our collections, visitors will be able to enter a three-dimensional space that feels like an elevator that goes underground under a headframe in Butte in the 1920s. And they'll hear miners' voices, and they'll see the mine shafts in front of them, and there'll be noise and airflow and kind of rumble to create that idea, that experience of what it might have felt like to be a miner. And that's not the only one experience like that, but it's kind of the most spectacular, right? But the idea is that, you know, maybe a kid goes and does that, and it's really cool for a kid, right, to have that type of experience, but it's also history based. It's based on collections, it's based on real things. And then they go back and go, "Oh, Grandpa, were you a miner in Butte?" Let's have those conversations, create those connections. And I think that's why I really love the Homeland Gallery.
Nice. And that's why I asked that question, so you could go into it and, you know, talk about it from that with that passion. Molly Kruckenberg is with us, Executive Director of the Montana Historical Society. We're talking about the Montana Heritage Center, soft opening in November. Project long in the making, a lot of support, kicked off with some support from the state, and then you've got sponsorship support, and that's such a vital thing. You've been there a lot of years, and then when you took over as Executive Director, this is flat straight on your plate, so to speak. So it's a heavy haul. I want to ask what else the Historical Society does too. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about one question. How do museums, you think, glance back into the past, how do you incorporate the future? What do you do that is futuristic for Montana specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's such a great question. So we're trying. It's so hard to think into the future, right? Because technology changes tomorrow.
It does, yeah.
Some of the ways that we are doing that are through like the experience that I talked about, some media-based components. We have lots of soundscapes and ways to engage with people that we didn't have in our previous exhibits. So trying to think about how maybe our younger visitors others want to experience history so we can build that next generation of folks who are interested in the past and interested in learning from it. I mean, we all know knowing the past helps us understand today, create a better tomorrow. Yes, we hope, right? Yeah. That's the plan. And so we want to make the spaces really engaging. And so then beyond the exhibits themselves, thinking about what apps can we use, you know, tours on your phone where people can engage, using our events and our experiences that we're hosting in the site to really engage people with the past.
Yeah, and this is that opportunity here, too, to rethink everything about Montana. And I suppose you have to at some point, Molly, go, all right, let's stop rethinking, you know, it's start doing. There had to be a process, but you're hitting on some of those little things that you get to do. Admission, I think you've decided is going to be free.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about this. When we reopen this fall, we will not have a general admission fee. We only had a really small admission fee in the past, so it's not like we're losing a lot of revenue there. But we feel that it's really important that everybody be able to experience our history and our culture and be part of the community space that we want the Heritage Center to be. So we want folks who are here at this conference today or any conference in Helena or any event, maybe they only have an hour to spend at a museum, and we want them to come. And we don't want an admission fee that's expensive to keep them from coming in and experiencing what we want to share. We want everybody, no matter their financial status or their time constraints, to come into the Heritage Center. But we're also trying to be as accessible as possible. So we've expanded our hours. We are rethinking how we operate. It's a brand new space. We've got lots of new and different things that we're offering. We have, you know, more retail space. We're going to have a cafe space. We're going to have event spaces, both for our events and other people's events. So we can bring people into the space. We want them to come and experience the trail, whether we're open or not. But we'll be open 7 days a week when we reopen in November. We'll be open most major holidays, except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But we want anyone who has that time to be able to just stop by and go, oh, the Montana Heritage Center is open, it's accessible, it's welcoming. We want people to feel really comfortable just dropping in and stopping and exploring our spaces and participating in our events and experiences.
Thank you. There's so much to talk about here. And we're going to do a show, I think, before the opening, get in there and look around and have you...
That would be wonderful.
It would be really cool. Real quickly, like in 30 seconds, how are the rest of Montana's museums doing?
You know, I think they're doing okay, but they certainly, you know, this post-COVID has been a struggle for lots of museums. Of course, we've seen tourists coming into the state, and so they're, you know, they're out there, they're working. We're really excited to be on the verge of closing this project out so we can restart our efforts of working with Montana's museums better. So, you know, there's always funding challenges out there for the museums and, you know, encourage people to support their museums, their local museums, by going there, by donating, by participating in their events.
Gosh, I'm really happy for you guys that you're getting to this point. I know it's been a lot of work, too, so I want to thank you for that. And then what's ahead? It's past time for Montana to have this center.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is for all Montanans. It's telling everybody's story. And so I'm so excited to be kind of, like you said, on that verge of opening it and sharing all of the wonderful work that we've been doing. And I want to take 2 seconds and acknowledge our general contractor, which is Sletten Construction, and our architecture and engineering firm, which is Cushing Terrell out of Billings. They've been really fabulous partners on this project.
It could be a lot, you know, if they're not good people working with you, it could be a lot more difficult.
Just all been working so hard together. And that's been an amazing process.
Good shout out then. Thank you for that. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And thanks for what you do, Molly Kruckenberg.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Yeah.
All right. Welcome back. It's at the Delta here and really good attendance. In fact, you look at some of the breakout sessions that they have. I was talking yesterday, Tom Schultz here, Voices of Montana, and live at the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation. Chatted with Mike Nelson last night, owner of the Northern Hotel in Billings. And, you know, just talks, just to give you an idea of the kind of people that this conference attracts. You know, Mike probably could run a conference like this all by himself. But he's here to collaborate, and he's here to connect. And so that's valuable. Dax Schieffer is with us now. I love Dax. We see Dax in a lot of places. Good morning, Dax. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Dax, you know, sometimes I get cancellations, and Dax go, look, call me on a short notice. And so I'm thinking, I'm saving Dax for that, you know, when I get a cancellation. But this is your element, man. This is where you are. Voices of Montana Tourism and the Montana Travel Association. You tell me about this conference. You tell me what people get. Why is Mike Nelson here at this conference?
That's right. Mike's a good partner. You know, this is a conference that brings together all the leaders across the state to really talk about the value of the visitor. And sometimes it's easy to kind of forget in the midst of you know, Montana's history and all the economic opportunities that exist there, really how important this industry can be for those Main Street Montana communities. And when they get those visitors coming in, it helps the livability of these communities, and it keeps businesses open. And we want to continue to remind people of that. And for my history, I grew up in eastern Montana. I grew up in
Where
Sydney.
We're in Sydney? Okay.
My family had homesteaded in north central Montana, the Hofels and Chinook.
Oh, nice.
And for me, this industry kept me in Montana. I get to raise my family in Helena, Montana. Because of the opportunities that existed, I was able to, after I graduated college, I was able to get an entry-level position in hospitality and had a 20-year career in the private sector. And so I'm here because of this industry, and I think bringing people together like this is an opportunity for many more people to tell that story. There are jobs and careers in this industry, and we want to make certain that we are supporting that.
Well, and that's the thing. 12.5 million people, I think, in 2023 can expect about the same. You know, that's a lot of people. $400 for every man, woman, child is what they're estimating, and things like that. The impact at $5 billion. One thing it's difficult to talk about, we just go back 5-6 years. Everybody was on board about tourism and recreation. Now there's a different dynamic about it, it's difficult to talk about. But that's one of the things that are in these breakout sessions, is to deal with the overcrowding that people have this perspective on. But I go back to everybody here who is creating. I talked to a gal last night. I don't recall her name. I got her card. She started a business based on recreation and tourism in that regard. So how does the industry, Dax, and you speak for them to a certain degree, Montana Travel Association, how do they manage the dynamic nowadays?
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. There's been an evolution in how we present these projects. I think it's important not to lose sight, though, of some of the fundamentals that exist. This is a self-funded industry.
Yes.
It's done through the bed tax that was created in 1987. It has added on to in 2003 to be funding the general fund. And we have the ability to have this industry together, promote the state of Montana, and do all these new innovative ways to invest in communities because of that bed tax, the original idea that when a visitor stays in Montana or a resident stays in Montana at a hotel, they're going to pay that bed tax. So, you know, that exists, and it really serves an important role. And prior to maybe what you're talking about, I'll get to that, is, you know, we would kind of tell people the funding model, and they would say, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden it makes sense that you have this industry that can promote itself, promote the state of Montana, which individually you couldn't do very well, and not take general fund. It doesn't take the taxpayer dollars out of the general fund. And in that case, we are oftentimes, and we forget this because it's been pretty busy, that we are still competing against the Rocky Mountain states, that they want these visitors. They want what Montana has. They're competing.
Yeah.
And I'm from Montana. I don't want to fall behind. Yeah. I want to be a leader in this and make certain that we're not only promoting the state of Montana, but also bringing the right people here who are going to respect the way of life for Montana, get them to the right places, and get them distributed to other parts of the state. And that's where I think I could go a little bit if you wanted to talk.
Because that's where I want to go. I mean,
yes.
Part of this dynamic, too, is the eastern states going, hey, come on, you know,
yeah, right.
We've got a lot to offer. And when Montana started focusing on that, when the tourism industry started focusing on that, you started getting results. I mean, I think that was a great idea in 1987. And the Commerce Department and all these people, they've made the most out of that, I think, too.
That's right. So we don't want to lose track of the fundamentals or take it for granted. But now we have these new innovative and new opportunities. And the industry came together 4 years ago, and they kind of reflected kind of post-COVID. They needed to really take a look in the mirror. We did see resident sentiment turn down. That was something we hadn't managed and dealt with before. So what could we do? How would we optimize these dollars that are coming from the visitors to make certain that we're making the most of it for the state and making it most sustainable? And so we had a group come together, and we looked at not only just having commerce be able to use the money for promotions, but how could they use it innovative ways that could maybe change a community infrastructure. And so we ended up putting the sort of pieces together. At that session, two sessions ago, it was SB 540. It was carried by Senator Zolnikoff and Billings. And it, for the first time, redirected how commerce would prioritize rural, undervisited, and tribal opportunities. And so it kind of, in many ways, kind of put some constraints on how the dollars would get funded, but it also was an opening. It liberated being able to not just use the dollars for promotion, because maybe a community doesn't need promotion first. Maybe they need some capacity building. Maybe they need to be ready for visitors. And so they've now, with SB 540, we've been able to have these really transformational projects for pilot community programs. Prior, you know, we talk in terms prior, you know, with industry partners of, you know, you get a $10,000 or $15,000 grant, and those are great, and those are important for your event or, yep, or your community. But what if we put a zero behind that? What if that community could take and invest $1 million or $2 million, something that would make that community transformational and better on the back end of it? So these pilot community programs now create that opportunity for us to do it. Then we've been partnering with new ways that people can recreate in Montana, whether it be with the Dude Ranchers Association, which is actually historical. They've been doing great, and they are doing great.
Good.
But Montana Outfitter Guides Association, you know, people are spending money on those experiences. And agritourism. Take to these two top industries in the state and find how, when you put them together, it's this exponential opportunity. We know producers are challenged with a lot of different things. Their costs are going up. They have volatility in their markets. Maybe it's a part of the process, not the only part,
right,
but maybe just a component of some new revenue stream by having some agritourism, either it's value-added product or getting your product directly to restaurants. These experiences, maybe it is bringing people out to your property, and maybe that helps you hold on a little longer. Maybe it gets you a new revenue stream, and we can have commerce with the ability to market the state be able to help with that.
Must be an exciting time for you. Dax Schieffer is with us, Voices of Montana Tourism and the Montana Travel Association. Got a couple of minutes here. Must be an exciting time for you with innovation out there and entrepreneurship and that whole spirit around recreation and tourism in Montana. What are you excited about?
You know, I go back, actually, I'm thinking of sitting in front of a business community in Glasgow, Montana, and this is years ago. And at that time, they were seeing about $20 million come in from non-resident visitors, which, you know, Let's be honest. That's pretty low in the scale of what a Yellowstone country, glacier country. But we had a business partner stand up, and he said, you know, those dollars coming in are keeping Glasgow the way we love it. It's keeping our restaurants open, our retail shops open, and we believe that the things that we love about living in our community can be supplemented with having these visitors there. And that's what I'm excited about, as we, you know, watch commerce relaunch this brand, this what I remember growing up in Montana, really leaning into that. And it's going to be an exciting time, because we are going to be able to, you know, remind folks, you know, that it's not just the national parks that the visitation really impacts. Now we're going to have some funds to really make your community. And by the way, I'm proud of living in the city, and the people, my friends and my brothers that still live there, they're proud of being from that community, and they have a story to tell.
Yes.
And their businesses can be helped when they get some visitation, and it just makes their town that much better and richer.
That's good. I love all the storytelling that goes on at a conference like this as well. Hey, Dax Schieffer, good to chat with you, okay? And you're still on speed dial for me, too, all right?
Call me anytime,
Tom. I will. Yeah.
I always appreciate it. This is a great audience. I love the show growing up.
Oh, thank you so much. Dax Schieffer again with Voices of Montana Tourism and the Montana Travel Association, live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation. We are here at the Delta in Helena, Montana. Mandy Rambo will join us in just a little bit. She's the interim director for the Department of Commerce. Another breakout session going on here. I had a chance. Now, And Victor Bjornborg joins us right now. And good morning, Victor. How you doing, sir?
Doing good, Tom. How about yourself?
Good, good. Your name's very familiar. Anybody who's got some broadcast history behind them will recognize your name. I know you worked up in Haver and did some news around the state of Montana as well. I could not come here to Helena and do a show without talking about our dinosaur trail.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah,
good
right?
Good choice.
Yeah, I know it. and that's what you're doing now. Tell us, and it's the 20th anniversary. So tell us the Montana Dinosaur Trail.
Go ahead. Tom, it got started back in 2005. And it was a creation that came out of, the idea came out of Malta, with they were finding some great dinosaurs, fully articulated, right out of the ground, things you usually don't find. And they thought, well, we'd like to develop dinosaurs as one of our economic development efforts here in Malta. But we're a long way from a lot of places. And we know there's other places in Montana that have great dinosaur displays. So why don't we, as a community, not keep this all to ourselves, but say, let's talk about all the other things people can do around Montana to create this critical mass of people coming to Montana looking at dinosaurs. So they helped create the idea. The Montana Department of Commerce helped coordinate putting this together, and that's where I was working at the time. And we created the Montana Dinosaur Trail May 7th, 2005.
Wow, May 7th, and 20 years.
20 years, and now. We coordinated it with the opening of the brand new then Fort Peck Interpretive Center that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had built to display their big Pex Rex and all their marine reptiles that they have on display there. So it's been a fun adventure. I think we found that a lot of people have really enjoyed. I mean, dinosaurs have been around for, of course, 150 million, 75 million years, but as a popular item in our culture, dinosaurs have always had a big draw.
Right.
And it's one of those unique things that Montana can offer that you can't find very many other places.
Well, if people can hear this, this is me opening up the brochure, mm-hmm. and there's a map here,
yep.
which people love. And, you know, that's the thing that I think people wake up to. Wow.
And look at it, that there's 14 facilities, and it's a great theme to travel through central and eastern Montana on. Because Highway 2, there's six different facilities along Highway 2, Rocky Mountain Front, Highway 89, up through the Bynum and Shodo area, far eastern Montana in Glendive and Ekalaka.
I grew up there, Mikoshika,
Yeah, and great. It really gives a theme for people to travel to places they might not go to otherwise.
All right, we're going to do something longer, a longer show a bit later on, because there's so much to talk about. The 20th anniversary, hit a few highlight events for us. And then
Well, as I mentioned, our anniversary is going to come up May 7th. And then the Fort Peck Interpretive Center will do something then. They have coming up in June for some of our 20th anniversary celebrations. We'll start off with National Dinosaur Day at Mikoshika State Park. Then Haver, the H. Earl Clack Museum, will have their Living History Day on June 7th. June 21st, Rudyard is the place to be. They're having their second annual Fun Fossil Festival in Rudyard. And Dr. John Scanella from the Museum of the Rockies is their featured presenter there. But they'll do everything from a pancake breakfast to a basketball tournament to a street dance to lots of food and fun around the streets of Rudyard. June, July, and August, there's a speaker series going on at the Frontier Gateway Museum. I'll be there on the 28th of June. Dino Dave will be there on July 26th. And Dino Dave is he's a local fellow who has been to Mongolia and all around Montana doing paleontology. So he'll talk about his adventures. And then John Scanella will be back there in August to talk about what they're finding at Mikoshika State Park. July 1st is the 30th anniversary of the Montana Dinosaur Center in Bynum. And Bynum is just, they're right in the central of
30th anniversary for those guys.
30th anniversary. Wow. And they're the ones who came up with, that found the Egg Mountain site that Museum of the Rockies has made its claim to fame on, and Jack Horner. Then coming up in July, we'll have the Roar and Explore up at the Great Plains Dinosaur Museum in Malta, and that's and the Phillips County Museum is joining together. We have two facilities in Malta, and they're doing a lot of fun things, a lot of kid activities, but also they're having a Jurassic metal scrap metal art contest. So that should be fun to see what people come up with for that. The Dino Shindig, which is nationally known in Ekalaka, that happens July 26th and 27th, where probably more than a dozen paleontologists from around the world come to Ekalaka and tell everyone what they're working on and what their new discoveries are.
Wow.
Exciting time in a town of 500.
I got to get that one on my list here, too.
It is fun. It is fun. And then, well, that's going to bring us through July, and then we'll see what comes up in August and in the fall.
That is so awesome. And I know there's a whole industry around it, and now there's dino dig sites all in a lot of places, too. So we're going to circle back with you. I appreciate that. And thanks, you know, for making dinosaurs attractive to the kids, because the parents are the ones who really want to go on this dinosaur trail. and the kids, you know, they're dragging their kids. Well, actually, their families just love that, don't they?
It is. It's a great family tour to do. And my wife and I, we spent two summers with two of our grandkids and just had a great adventure, 1 week each summer, hitting all 14 of the sites.
It's an easy thing. It's an easy grandpa thing to do, you know, a grandpa event. Go do a dinosaur trail thing. You'd be cool. All right. Hey, thank you, Victor. Appreciate that.
You bet, Tom.
Yeah, Victor,
we'll be back.
There's a lot of fun stats that we talk about here. Did you know that Montana has more river miles than any other state in the lower 48 states, right? So that's why outdoor adventures, rafting, and hiking are still huge across Montana for tourism. Ranch vacations, 120 guest ranches. That's been another one that's really growing. Cultural tourism, agritourism, and some of those hidden gems. We're gonna find out more about that here. Welcome back. Again, the Governor's Conference on Tourism and Recreation. Tom Schultz, now with Mitch Staley with the Montana Department of Commerce, and your boss, Interim Commerce Department Director Mandy Rambo. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. And Mitch, thank you as well.
Morning. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Why are people here, Mandy?
I think we are here to celebrate tourism in Montana. It is, I would say, one of our largest industries for the state, a huge economic driver, over $5.5 billion that come into the state through tourism every single year. So we are here to learn how to advance the tourism industry, how to work together, and really how to showcase the Montana that we all know and love and have marketing and visitation that we can all be proud of as Montanans.
That is such a vital part of this as well, because I know when Montana started to we just had Dax talk about the bed tax when that came about. Things started turning around for tourism in Montana. And so the focus pays off, doesn't it?
Yes. I think that we've seen, starting in 1987 when our Office of Tourism was created and the first bed tax was created, we've seen tourism grow steadily and become a larger and larger economic driver for the state. And I think that we've also seen on the flip side, states who have discontinued their statewide tourism office or statewide marketing, they lose market share and they lose that economic value that comes with tourism. And it can take them years or even decades to recover from that once they realize that, oh, hey, those dollars are needed. We need that tax base. We need those jobs, and those jobs are important to our industry and to our state. So tourism is a great economic driver. 1 in 12 jobs are tied to tourism in the state of Montana, and you can really see it, especially during our summer season, when we have the most tourists in the state. We can just see what it does for our state and the money that comes in through those visitors and the taxpayer dollars that then come into the state as well.
Yeah, Mitch, I want to ask you that question about how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep tourism at the top of people's minds, so to speak? And it's a seasonal type of thing, too. So there's probably some of that goes. How do you keep tourism fresh?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to kind of dovetail off of what Acting Director Rambo said about tourism and how we really don't want to turn it off in our state, but we need to do it well. We need to do it right. It needs to represent Montanans. The people who live here 365 days out of the year need to see themselves in the marketing that's going on and how we're promoting our state. And so we're excited to announce that we will be launching the new Montana brand in May. And so that's a huge deal. It hasn't happened in 16 years
Wow.
that there's been a rebrand for our state. And really that's the catalyst for that was in the last legislative session with Senate Bill 540. And Acting Director Rambo worked hard on that to work with the legislature and the governor's office and getting that bill passed. But what that did is it enabled us to look outside of what's been successful in the past, which people come to Montana for Yellowstone and Glacier. We know that works. People found us. Then the TV show Yellowstone came along. And so it's time to do a rebrand, do a refresh to promote the rural and and undervisited parts of our state, but do it in a way that Montanans are proud of. That when we see what's being said about us in Denver or in any other city, that we like what it is. And we have to see ourselves in that. And so we're excited to do this brand launch. It'll be in middle of May. It might be...
Oh, it's not today?
It's not today. Tomorrow. It's okay. Not going to be at this conference.
Oh, we are not gonna, right now? It's we're not giving right a, here right
not
now?
Not right now, not oh, right here, okay. But you'll be the first to know maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
We are excited about this, though. And tomorrow we'll be doing a keynote here to talk about the background, why the new brand, the research that we've done around it. And you'll see this, it really is for Montanans. We know our job is to promote people to come here as tourists, as visitors, businesses, to come here and start, expand their businesses in Montana. And this brand will help to do all of that, but through the voice of Montanans. Montanans are the brand. And we shouldn't be out doing anything other than that.
That's great. And that's a question I asked Molly Kruckenberg. We had her on in the first segment there. You know, they've got the new Heritage Center upcoming. And she's talking about it represents all of Montana. Well, Montana's pretty dang diverse, and you know, not just the people, but geographically as well. So how do you rebrand, whoever, Mandy or Mitch, how do you rebrand with that concept of trying to get everybody into this big pot, but still making it a special pot?
Well, it takes a lot of effort. We've done a lot
nice.
Of effort.
I like that. Yeah.
We've done... a series of research. We have our research vendor who just did a great keynote here at the conference this morning, and that we've done some great resident surveys. So we're asking Montanans, what do you like about the old brand? What don't you like about the old brand? What would you like us to do different in the future? It takes great leadership, like Acting Director Rambo and the administration, as far as the support of this activity. Mm-hmm. That it takes a large team of people to really undergo a brand like this. And at the end of the day, if it's successful, everybody will take this brand and they'll want to wear the shirt. They'll want to put the sweatshirt nice. On it. It will yeah. mean something for everybody. Yep. It doesn't matter what your political background is or what your activity of choice. I like to dirt bike. That's what I like to do. But I love it that people want to hike too. I love mm-hmm. it people want to use a bike without a motor. I wouldn't love that, but a lot of people do love doing that. And I hope that we all can take this new Montana brand, take the sticker, so to say it, and put it on all whatever our gear is, that we all have this brand on our backs and we love it.
You
and
certainly piqued our interest.
I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah.
I'll just give maybe a little teaser. For those of us who grew up here and raised in the 90s, you're going to know what you're seeing.
Okay.
It's not just a copy paste of what was. It's definitely a refresh on what was, but you're going to see it, and I think you're going to love it.
Oh, cool. How do you feel about it, Mandy?
I love it. It's a little retro, to Mitch's point, but a revitalized retro version of what we saw growing up in the 90s. And I think that... you can see yourself in it. So
nice.
To Mitch's point, whether you are someone who likes to dirt bike, who likes to hike, maybe you're someone who's more of a homebody, I think that you're going to see yourself in it. I think that you can feel and understand that it is authentic Montana and real Montana. As much as, you know, the show Yellowstone brought people to Montana, I think we can all say that that is, you know, a fictionalized or dramatized version of Montana. It's not what actually happens every day in our lives. And so that's what we want to see is this is everyday Montana. This is the lives that our citizens are living. And that's what you're going to see when you come and visit us is authentic, real, maybe a little bit rugged or a little bit rough and tumble as well. And I think that this new brand does that. And we're sorry to tease you with it and not roll it out for you.
I think it's awesome.
But it will be coming in May and we're very, very excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very excited, and this is radio format, Tom, so we couldn't show it anyway even if we wanted to.
But theater of the mind. We can
visualize this, yeah, 1994.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and it's not just about the 90s. But there's elements to the new brand that you've seen before. You'll recognize that
good.
A lot of people noticed when they went away, and they really probably never should have gone away. And we're bringing them back, but we're putting on a fresh spin on it and a fresh take on what the future also holds for our state. And that's including the made in Montana businesses, the manufacturers in our state, the awesome outdoor gear. We know Outdoor Rec is one of the number one reasons people see Montana, want to come to Montana. And we're going to focus on some of the big brands that are making that gear here in Montana because that's how we're inspired. We go out, we do some activity, and we say, you know what would be cool if I had this holster, if I had this knife, or if I had whatever is a camp camper. There's a camper. Did you know there's a camper manufacturer in Belgrade, Montana?
Yes, I did.
Fast campers.
And right? Yeah.
How cool is that? And so you'll see subtleties like that, that we're talking about the people who live here, who make a living here, who raise their kids here. And that brand is what people are going to see, not television series like Yellowstone.
I think that'll respond. I think that'll resonate because people, they want to protect what they love about Montana here too. You know, they want it to grow and they want everybody to be successful here as well, but they still want to protect it. So I think, you know, having that sense of this is still your Montana, I think that's really great. You know, we'll have to do a longer segment next time when you guys bust this out, okay? I got a ton of questions for you, agritourism, cultural tourism, but let's circle back soon, okay?
That sounds great, Tom. Thank you so much for having us.
Acting Director for the Montana Department of Commerce, it's Mandy Rambo, and Mitch Staley as well. Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate
that. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.